And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And indeed, we are grateful to gather here in God's presence to love Him, to honor Him, and to lift His holy name. And when we do that, God changes us. Today, as you are here in our worship, we are delighted that you are. I have some announcements. One, you'll notice as you come in, there will be some surveys. And let me see if I can grab one right here. It says a survey of discipleship classes for 2014 and 15. And those are some topics that we're going to be seeing if we have enough interest to simply offer a class. Maybe some of them will be 6 weeks. Some of them may be 10 to 13 weeks. We're going to do some of them in the fall and some of them probably January, February. So we're trying to get your input. So if you would, take them. Put first choice, second choice, third choice. No, if you put third choice and we get a class, we're going to be counting on you to be a part of that. If you don't want to do it at all, then just don't put anything. And when we get that information gathered today and next Sunday, we'd ask you to have them in by next Sunday. We'll move forward with making plans and getting some folks lined up. And we'll call each class together and decide when the best time to meet will be. So if you're not sure about scheduling, know in that first meeting, we will decide when everybody can get together. Also, I was given that there are forms for our college students. They're available in the atrium. R.C. Norm Keith in front of the church right after today's service. Norm will be standing down here. These forms need to be completed and turned in before next Sunday so that the ministry we have to our young people who are away, we can do that ministry in a very effective way. And I know, barely able to remember college days, but I do, and going to find things in the mailbox, and especially the things that we put in the mailbox from Flat Springs Baptist, is a blessing. So help us do that. Moms, if you're here and your college student's not here, you could come get that. We want to make sure we've got all of those identified. We think we do, but we certainly don't want to miss anybody. So if you could help us with that, we would greatly appreciate that. You'll notice some folks are missing. We have 28 who are away. Those who are counting back there, add those 28 that are away on a children's retreat this weekend. They'll be coming back in today. We want to be praying for them as they will be traveling back to us today. Hope you'll read the bulletin and see all of the announcements that are there. Probably the biggest one that I do want to take just one moment that's in the bulletin to call your attention to is next Sunday. And you'll notice that under the worship opportunities that next Sunday is going to be a very special day in the life of Flat Springs Baptist Church. For almost a third of the history of this church, almost a third. In fact, if you do the math, it might be over a third. I'm getting close to that right now. I haven't done the math. Leonard Harris has served this congregation as either youth and music or the minister to our music. And he is retiring at the end of this month. And so next Sunday, on the 17th, we're going to be celebrating that tremendous service. He's already told us he's going to show back up. So it's not a sad time, but it is a time that we need to come together. We're going to have a covered dish meal, so ladies, be planning and do your best. We'll give a phone tree. When do you need it to get all your groceries? I want to make sure you got plenty of time, but I want to make sure I don't do it too early that you forget. Next Sunday, we're going to have a wonderful time of celebrating. In the atrium, there's a basket. There's one for the discipleships for you to return, but there's another one that has Leonard on it. Leonard's remembrances. I think it says something like, thank you, Leonard. If you would, just if you've got a card that you'd like to put in there, if you've got a memory you'd like to share, a personal note you'd like to share, that's an opportunity. That's his mailbox for today and next Sunday to be able to share with him how much we appreciate him. And I know he doesn't want us to do any of this, but we need to do it, and we are going to do it, and we're going to do it well. And we're excited about the opportunity to share with him. So please note that and make sure that next Sunday, and I told you about 6 weeks ago, if you had anything scheduled for next Sunday, you needed to cancel it. And you needed to be at Platte Springs Baptist Church next Sunday. This place needs to be overflowing as we express love and appreciation for a job well done to a servant who served the Lord very faithfully in His work. Now, I hope you'll read the other announcements that are there before us, that you'll be involved in every opportunity that you have. And now it's time to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and to allow God's Spirit to wash over us and cleanse away our sin, our stress, the issues of life that too many times we try to handle instead of giving them to God. As we worship Him, He will love us back. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have come into this house. We have gathered in Your name to worship You, to praise Your name above every name, to find ourselves totally connected to who You are, to Your love that amazes us, to Your power that overwhelms us, to Your strength that gives us hope. God, speak to us as we worship You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you take a moment as our instruments play to still ourselves and know that He is God.
Is coming a day when the Lord will come and take us home. Page 421, Whosoever Meeteth Me. I've sometimes mentioned this is a song, or other songs are ones you need to get your dentures in real good. And this is one of them. We want to sing it joyfully. I am happy today, and the sun shines bright, which it doesn't. But I want you to change that S-U-N to an S-O-N. I did a musical at Pleasant Grove Baptist one time called Sunshine, S-O-N, Sunshine. And I led a group at Camp Caswell, Run in the Sun, spelled S-O-N. So you just change that, and the sun shines bright. Change that to S-O-N. And sing joyfully. Let's all stand. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to come and worship you today. Be with those who are sick or sad or lonely or have lost loved ones or those who are just down and out and have lost hope. Heal them and be with them as only you can. Bless these tithes and offerings that are given today to further your kingdom and do your work. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Matthew, and this is Stephen. Oh, we're going to wait for him to get down here. And we are from the youth group. Matt went with the other kids on the Atlanta Braves trip. Hey, how you doing? And we're going to do the children's sermon this morning. So I have a question. So this is a basketball. What do you do with a basketball? You dribble it, you put it in a hoop. So this is a ball, but what other games do you have that you use a ball? Baseball? Soccer? What's another game?
Anybody play tennis?
Football? That's right. Do you know one? Tennis? Steven said tennis. I'm not very good at tennis. All right, also with the ball, you can just throw it back and forth. So when you're throwing a ball back and forth, what's the most important thing you have to do? Keep your eye on the ball. Because if not, you have to go chase the ball. So I don't like going to chase the ball. I like just be able to catch it. Right?
So, in our Bible lesson today, Simon Peter learned that he had to keep his eye on something. But it wasn't a ball. It was Jesus. Listen as I read Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God."
That's a pretty cool story. Because Peter, when he got out of the boat, he was able to walk on water because he trusted Jesus. But the problem was when he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he started to sink into the water. So, you and I may both encounter problems. But when we come to church, when we read the Bible, and when we pray as a family, we all know that we can rely on Jesus, and we're as a family, we're able to keep attention to God, and we'll all be able to follow Him.
Let's pray about that. Dear Jesus, thank you for this wonderful day, and help us to remember to keep our eyes on you when we are encountered by life's storms, and help us to put our faith and trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
See you guys next week.
Thank you, Stephen and Mike, or Stephen and Matt. Changed your name, didn't it? Page 382, God the Father of your people, let's all stand.
You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, we are going to begin with a praise. Miss Evelyn, and that's spelled Evelynn, Grace Clark, made her appearance weighing in at 7 pounds, 2 ounces on August the 9th. We are grateful that they are doing well. There were a little issue that they needed to induce labor. Kayla is doing okay. They're at Womack Army Hospital. I don't know if they'll be coming home today or tomorrow, but we want to be giving thanks and keeping them lifted up. There were some platelet count issues, and we want to keep that lifted up as well. But I have a picture afterwards if you would like to see a beautiful, bouncing baby girl, and she is absolutely beautiful. You'll notice on our prayer needs and prayer concerns that there are many that are there that we need to be remembering. God knows each and every need as we lift them to His care. Would you pray with me? God, in our worship, we are mindful that we are vessels made of clay. And what we need more than anything else, as we sang in that first hymn, and Leonard reminded us, was for your Son, S-O-N, to shine upon us. Help us, O God, to even now be brave enough, be willing, be daring, be bold, be humble, to pray, God, change us. No, not the one beside us, in front of us, or behind us, but me, O God. Today in worship, would you change me? May every mother be praying that prayer. May every father, every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter, every friend. God, change us. Oh, not to be what the preacher wants or what society says. Change us, O God, mold us and make us after your will. While we are waiting, yielded and still. Change us and you'll change our home. Change our home, you'll change our neighborhood. Change our neighborhood, you'll change our community. Change our community, you'll change our county. Change our county, you'll change our state. Change our state, you'll change our nation. Change our nation, you'll change our world. But right now, oh God, change me. Change me. In Jesus' name.
Everyone's a little froggy this morning, including myself. We're going to change our special. It's not a typo. We really appreciate the work that Kathy does in getting our bulletin ready for us to show up on Sunday and have it all ready for us. But this is, at the last minute, we've changed to another song, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. What a tremendous promise and opportunity to spend time around the throne. What a tremendous image that gives us and reminds us of our destiny. Let me invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to begin as we are looking at the young fellow named David. Next Sunday we'll be looking at praise. We'll look at the praise of Pentecost in the readings that you'll be doing this week. We'll be looking at the praise of Paul and Silas while they're in jail after being beaten. We'll read the Psalms. We'll remember the Magi who came to praise at the birth of our Lord and Savior. And then next Sunday we'll celebrate worship and praise by looking at one of the Psalms, the songbook of Israel. And the one that compiled that book was King David, a musician by trade, a shepherd by trade, a killer of bears and lions by trade, and he was just a boy. His resume would get more impressive as he would continue to grow. And that's how it is with God. He's still working on our resume. He still has things for us to do that make a difference. Our text today is going to be 1 Samuel 17, 17 through 23. And then we're going to skip over to verse 34 through 37. And we're not going to get to defeat Goliath today. We'll do that in 2 weeks. But here, we're going to ask ourselves the question, how can a boy, a godly boy, become more than just a delivery boy, carrying food to his brothers as his father instructed him to do, but to become the deliverer of Israel and the grandfather 27 times removed from the deliverer of the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior. An amazing story of an amazing fellow named David. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to begin to read in verse 17. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? And Jesse said to David his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousands. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge with the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard them. Now we're going to skip over to verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and I killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, we've been praying for You to change us today. In this moment, maybe we're surprised that we're feeling the need for change right now. And maybe, like David, we're on one mission and we don't know we're going to another mission. But You know it. And today You're preparing us. But maybe we would just commit to talk to You a little more, be a little more focused on who You are in our life, and allow the change that You do to begin now, even before the assignment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is one of the most famous stories in all Scripture. David and Goliath. We know this story. We cleaned it up as much as we could. And we had to clean it up a lot because it is a violent story. R-rated any way you would ever really depict it. And we learned it as children. We know about those five stones, and we know about the conversation that David and Goliath will have. And we can see the young boy whirl that sling above his head, and with one mighty toss, the 9-foot giant falls. That wasn't his plan that morning when he got up. He didn't know there was a giant in his future. He was on a mission as a delivery boy. He was taking food and grain to his brothers because in that day, families supported the armies directly. And he was taking cheese to the commander, which was also part of their tradition. And he was to bring back how they were doing, a report, if you will, a report to his father. How are my boys? How are things going? How are they doing? That was his mission. What was your mission this morning? Come to church? Come and sit and listen to a good choir? An average preacher, and leave. But maybe, just maybe, like David, God had a different plan. Maybe God understood that you came here today because He knows what you're going to be doing next week. He knows the obstacles of next week. He knows the challenges of next week. He knows the success of next week. And yes, He knows the failure. And He knows that if we could follow some of the ideas that David gives us, that maybe He could begin to change us. Because not all changes are good. Could we agree that not all changes are good? I love the story about the frog, you know, that one that knew his destiny was to become a handsome prince. Y'all read that story before, right? One little peck on the, where you kiss frogs, but wherever you do. And he transformed when the beautiful princess. He knew that was his destiny. But it kept taking so long that he finally decided, well, maybe I'll go see a fortune teller and make sure that is my destiny. And so he went, and the fortune teller began to say and said, "Oh, yes, there is a princess in your future. From the moment she sets eye on you, she's going to just be so curious about who you are. She's going to have this insatiable desire to know all about you. She's going to be compelled to get close to you. You're going to fascinate her." He said, "This is good. This is good. Where am I going to meet her? Is it going to be on an online dating site? Where? The fortune teller answered, "No, in biology class. I'll wait for you for a moment." Y'all remember biology, don't you? Some change isn't good. We've all experienced that kind of change. David will later in his life experience the power of negative change for bad choices. But when we change, sometimes the change that comes before the bad can change the bad. I want you to remember a date that we'll end this service with today. It's December the 29th, 2000. December the 29th, 2000. Well, what could we learn from David? What could David teach us? Well, the first thing, I think, in a process of being transformed, that each of us need to hear, that I need to hear, maybe you do, is that we need to follow directions. David was doing what Jesse commanded him to do. Jesse said, David, go. And he did. What's God telling us to do? Obedience is a key to transformation. 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 Let me say it another way. God will not change a disobedient child of his. He'll want to. He needs to. He could. He will. If we're obedient. But brothers and sisters, you and I can sit here today with a disobedient heart. And we can walk out of this place with a disobedient heart. And God will not change us. Today, are we following directions? If a person will do what a good doctor tells them, they have a chance of experiencing transformation in their health. You can quit some things and add some things and change some things, and your health can improve. If a team will do what a good coach tells them, they can experience transformation in the game. If they will follow those directions, and if you and I will follow what God's Word tells us and what He teaches us in His church, we too, we can be transformed. We can be changed. Transformation occurs when we are obedient to our Father. This morning, I want us to understand how important it is to follow directions. What is God directing us today to do? Who is He directing us to? What person is He putting always before us? Maybe that person comes to our mind with negative feelings. But today, God is reminding us that when we follow His directions, we see people differently. We see things differently. We see opportunities differently. Secondly, we have to find our devotion. If there's anything we're going to discover about studying David, is that he was devoted. The writer Acts, Luke, and Acts says he was a man after God's own heart, and he was. He really, really was. That alone makes this study worth our time. If we could just catch the desire that David had to love God, to praise God, to be obedient to God, to follow God, to listen for God's voice, to enjoy being in His presence, to sing praises to His name, we would begin an important change. Are we people after God's own heart? Maybe that's an area of our growing age. Maybe that's a place where we can say, you know, I remember when I was growing with God. I remember a time in my life when God was really centered and really the first thought I had in the morning when I woke up, and all through the day I had time to think about Him, but lately, not so much. Not so much lately. It's been different, hasn't it? It's different when God's not first, isn't it? And most of us who could remember when God was first, now remember when He's not. If God's not first in our life, that's our starting place, isn't it? That's where we can get started right now. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? I'm glad you asked. By the renewing of your mind. By the testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. I can ask it real simply, who are we devoted to? And I know what the answer for most of us, if we were really honest, we would at least have to say, either I am more devoted to myself or I struggle with being more devoted to myself. Brothers and sisters, I would almost say that every sin that we commit, you name the sin, starts when our devotion is in the wrong place. When we're more devoted to what we want, what we think, what we want to have, than what God wants. Follow directions. Find your devotion. Make sure your devotion is to be transformed by God, that you want to be devoted to Him like David was devoted to Him. And then you'll fulfill your destiny. What's God's desire for our church? I believe it's to be a transforming place. A place where when people come here, they say, God changed me. Oh, man. We never walk out and say, Leonard Harris changed me. No, we never walk out and say, Gary McCullough changed me. May we never walk out and say, a Sunday school teacher changed me. But instead, may we say, I walk out changed because God used Leonard Harris to help transform my life. And God used Gary McCullough to help transform my life. And God used a Sunday school teacher or an Awana leader, a youth leader. You fill in the blank. But God changed me. That's our destiny. God's desire is for this place to be a place of change. David was born to be a king. He was born to be a king. God chose him. God's chosen each of us to be a king in a very specific way, in a very specific place, at a very specific time. How are we doing with our kingship? Because the thing that made David different than Saul, and really different than any other king Israel or Judah ever had, was that David was a man after God's own heart. He was devoted to God. He was devoted to God. He was so devoted to God that it was first. He put God first. He did what God wanted him to do. And then and only then was he able. Oh, Saul was rejected by God because his devotion was not to God. But David, although chastised by God for his sin, was never rejected. He loved him. He loved him because he knew his devotion was real. To fulfill our destiny. Oh, I love what Mike Kilpatrick said. Listen to these words to fulfill our destiny. He said, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. It all starts with fulfilling ourselves by giving ourselves over to God. We are constantly being transformed and moving toward that destiny. The journey is an amazing. And when we are devoted to God and following the directions of God, then not only will we fulfill our destiny, but we'll bring others along with us. We'll make a difference in other people's lives. And that's what God is really all about. December the 29th, and the year was 2000. It was early on a cold December morning. when two South Carolinians were going to follow directions out of their devotion and become heroes like David and fulfill their destiny and the destiny of about 400 other people. It was early morning on December the 29th, 2000, when Gifford Shaw and Clark Bynum bowed their heads and prayed on British Airways flight 2069 from London's Gatwick Airport to Nairobi, Kenya. They weren't supposed to be on that flight. Isn't that amazing? They're not supposed to be there. They had missed a direct flight to Uganda because of the winter weather delays in London, but now they were finally en route on their two-week mission trip to Uganda. One was an insurance salesman, the other a banker. But they had taken their vacation, and for 2 weeks they were going. One was a Presbyterian and one was a Methodist, but they were going to serve God on a two-week mission trip. They found that Jabez prayer that I think sometimes we messed up a few years ago, but I think these guys prayed it correctly. It's found in 1 Chronicles 4:10, right as they got ready to leave. And here's what that prayer says. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. The two men from Sumter, South Carolina, quickly fell asleep because they had messed them up so bad. They put them in the business section, first class, if you will. I've only done that one time. That's a whole different place on an airplane, let me tell you. First class is first class. They were actually two seats from the cockpit. Two seats from the cockpit. Not quite an hour later, Gifford woke up as the Boeing 747-400 cruised at 35,000 feet over the Sudan with its 398 passengers and crew. The first 5.5 hours of the 8-hour flight had been smooth and uneventful. But it had been dark outside, and now the sun had risen. Gifford peered out of his window over the African landscape. He had been to Africa before, but this was his first time now going with Clark to do this thing. 5 or 10 minutes after he had awakened, Clark was startled from his slumber by a nasty jolt. Gifford thought it was just more turbulence and looked out the window when he realized the plane was plummeting. They would later find out that it dropped 19,000 feet. Terrified, the two men heard the screams and calls for help from the cockpit just a few feet away. Clark turned to his friend and he said, "We're going to die." Gilbert responded, I know, this is it." But Clark, a 6'7", 210-pound former college basketball player at Clemson, Rebecca, felt he needed to do something. He had no idea if it was terrorists. He just heard the cries. He didn't know if they had guns or weapons. He said, "I've got to go." He unsnapped himself from his seat and began to make his way to the cockpit. As he opened the door, he found a struggle going on. There was a 27-year-old Kenyan named Paul Kefa Munkaya, a graduate student at the university in Lyons, France, later diagnosed with acute paranoia, had burst into the cockpit, was trying to seize control of the plane, and he was fighting with William Hagen, the 53-year-old captain, and First Officer Phil Watson, and had disengaged the autopilot and causing two deep dives. The Kenyan man had bit Hagen, had bit him on his ear, had bit him on his finger, had locked in to the controls, and was crying he wanted to die. When Clark saw the chaos, he He reached in, and I read another account, said he pulled him out of that cockpit like a bad tooth and threw him to the ground. And Gifford quickly jumped on top, and the two men controlled the out-of-his-mind king. And it's interesting to note that as one of the papers in Nairobi did the story, said that the captain told him that in 4 or 5 more seconds, the plane would have flipped upside down and he would never have been able to have regained control. When things settled down, many passengers came quietly and thanked Gifford and Clark. I don't think I was in sharp shock, but close to it. I don't remember a whole lot that I did, Clark says. Listen to what he said. I just remember reflecting about the miracle that had just happened. Gifford described the next 2 hours to Nairobi as the most sobering time of his life. It was dead silence, he said. Every person on that plane knew God had intervened. Two Christian men devoted to God, following directions. They heard a call to go on a mission trip. It was going bad every way it could go bad. But God had them where they needed to be. God knew their destiny. And the destiny of 400 other people. Because two men followed directions. Two men were devoted. Two men allowed God to fulfill their destiny. Clark and Gifford. David and David sounds like to me. I wonder today, God could change me, if God could change you, we might be more in tune with what he's saying, that we might better follow his directions, that we might recommit ourselves today to be more devoted than even last week, and say, God, my destiny is in your hands. That's the best place. Blessed be the name. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you in this moment speak to our hearts about our devotion to you? Could you change it and make it better? Lord, would we have the strength to change it and make it better? I am following your directions, Lord. There may be someone here who says, God, I've gone all week last week and I never cracked the Bible. I don't really know what your directions for my life are. I'm just on autopilot hoping nobody breaks into my cockpit and knocks it off. But today, God, you've spoken to my heart. And today I know I need to follow your directions. I need to spend more time focused on what they are. And then, Lord, our destiny for this church, our destiny for our community, our destiny for our family, our destiny for our own lives. Help us to follow directions like David, to be devoted to you like David, that you may control our destiny when the giants come. In Christ's name we pray. Our hymn of decision this morning is page 315. There's Room at the Cross, page 315. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision about following his directions, about your devotion to him, that he might help us fulfill our destiny, would we speak to him as we stand together? Again, we are excited about next Sunday, the opportunity we have to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, and to celebrate one of His servants all at the same time. Matt, Stephen, great job. Thank you for doing our children's sermon. Didn't they do well? Make sure you tell them what a good job they did. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, we're going to pay close attention to Your directions. We are excited that You have pricked our hearts today through the music and the prayers and the worship and the Bible study. And our devotion, we desire it to grow. And God, our destiny is in Your hands, the best place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.